You're listening to another episode of
Total Talk Nonsense with John and Scott.
All right, Total Talk Nonsense with John and Scott. I'm John.
And I'm Scott.
And this is episode 152.
That's right, John, 152 after a one-week layoff.
Yeah.
We're back.
I forgot how to do everything.
Well, and the Bears game's on, too, so,
yeah. Well,
you know, you're a little bit distracted.
No.
Well, even when you said, this is Total Talk Nonsense, I'm John.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, yeah, and I'm Scott.
You forgot?
Because I'm watching the game.
You forgot it?
I forgot it. Oh, he looks like he is gone.
Oh. Nice.
Yeah, we're watching the Bears and the Vikings on Sunday Night Football as we podcast TTN listener.
No doubt.
Oh, speaking of football, John, Maine South won the boys championship.
I know, 5A. I heard that.
I think that was last night they won.
I heard that, yeah.
I did
hear that.
Well, that's because they run the junior football camps in Park Ridge like nobody's business. Like,
no
I heard,
doubt.
For example, if you're going to be on the Pee Wee football, you can't do anything else. They don't even let you go to school. You have to just do Pee Wee football.
Football, right. Period. Nothing else. Well, we got a couple of Andrews minutes this week, by the way, Scott.
Couple of Andrews minutes. Look forward to that. Andrew always challenges us.
Yeah.
Calls out our bullshit.
He seems upset.
Because we're not the brightest bulbs in the batch. Wait a minute. He seems upset?
He seems upset, yeah.
You've listened to them. You've pre-listened to them? I hear them for the first time while you play them on the show, John.
Well, he wrote, I have decided not to record a minute this week until I can upgrade the microphone I use. Perhaps you wouldn't mind reading out my minute.
Oh, he's not pissed at us. He's just pissed in general.
But I don't know. He's got two TT and Andrews minute
MP3s
attached to the Andrews minute. So
it's confusing, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, we really need to get solid instructions or we don't know what to do. I mean, we're not that bright.
Yeah. So I don't know what's going on.
How was your Thanksgiving, John?
It was great. I'm actually off until Wednesday.
Nice.
So 6 days off. But all week, let's see, what did I do? I went to the doctor on Tuesday, and then the dentist on Wednesday. That was a treat.
Which one, or both of
them? Well, the doctor is like, hey, man, your blood pressure is just way too high. I said, yeah, I haven't been taking my medication for like a month. He says, why? I go, because it's killing me. It's killing me. It's giving me headaches. It's making my gums bleed. It's doing all this shit. He goes, why didn't you tell me? I said, I did. And he said, just wait a little while. You'll get used to it. Like, what am I supposed to do? Go through and feel this pain forever until I just finally get used to it? What is that? So, you okay?
Yeah, sorry,
you want
man.
Me to hit your cough
Whiskey
button?
Went up the wrong pipe.
Whiskey up the nose?
Yeah.
Well, I just have some whiskey, man.
So he gave me some new meds, and then I have to go Tuesday to get the finger up the ass.
What does that have to do with your blood pressure?
I have to have a physical.
Oh, I see.
So then I went to the dentist the next day with this ache in my jaw. It was just unbelievable ache in my jaw. And she figured it was something to do with my sinuses and my maxillary molars and whatnot.
Do you still have your molars? You haven't had those pulled?
Those are wisdom teeth, you douchebag.
Whatever.
They're molars. You
aren't they the same thing?
No.
What's a molar?
Well, it's a wisdom molar, but I have maxillary molar, the ones that grow up into your maxillary sinuses.
Well, why don't you get those removed?
You can't, man. How do you chew then?
I don't know.
What do you chew with, your front teeth?
Gum stuff. You mean all of your molars grow up into your sinuses?
Yeah, pretty much.
Oh.
Yeah. So, like, I had a tooth pulled once, and they said, hey, hold your nose and blow. And I did, and the air came out of the socket. It's like, whoosh, whoosh. Yeah.
Well, that's nice. Yeah. It's a good
and then
party
when
trick.
When they did my wisdom teeth, I blew through the stitches hole. It's like.
Okay, so the Bears were on the 1 yard line.
Yeah.
And they had four attempts, and they did not score a touchdown.
Right.
Vikings turn around and throw a 99-yard TD pass.
Yeah, that'll ruin your day.
How are the Bears doing this year?
I don't. They're not doing so good.
Are they 500?
Yeah. I mean, they're in first place, I believe. But that's because the other teams they're in their division blow. And, like, Vikings lose and the Bears go up in the standings. Green Bay loses, the Bears go up. Carolina is the one they're going to have trouble with. The Rams, they played them and kicked their ass because the Rams can't win at all. They're like the Raiders. So, yeah, they're doing all right. Except for that one where they got totally burned.
That was like the fastest turnaround in history.
Yeah,
other than a defensive play.
That'll take you down a couple notches.
Can't four stops it. At the one-inch line, and then they throw a 99-yard
TD
pass.
Well, you know, that's part of that is that douchebag that they have calling the plays up in the booth there. What's his name?
I have no idea. Ron Rivera.
Yeah, Ron Turner.
Oh, Ron Turner.
And, that was they knew they were going to come with a blitz. Nice. Anyway, back to the show.
That's right, John.
Back to the show. So how was your thing? Well, actually, getting back to my Thanksgiving. Then we had Thanksgiving on Thursday. So the wife gets up at 6 and starts, you know, making the prepping the turkey, getting everything ready, getting
it going. Who's coming over?
My parents and my sister. Who else? I think that's it. Pretty much my parents, my sister. And then we're supposed to have, and Cousin Dan. Remember Cousin Dan?
Yeah, Cousin Dan, the military guy, right?
No, you doof.
I remember Cousin Dan. Yeah, of course.
Oh, man. He says that all the time. Anyways, Cousin Dan was there. And then we're supposed to have some other family members for like, I don't know, dessert, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it was just supposed to be my wife's aunt and one of her sons. Well, we're just setting the table, and all four of them show up. Her aunt and four and her three sons. And we're like, well, wait a minute. We only got like a 16-pound turkey, and these are some big boys, man.
Mm-hmm.
Holy shit. I look at my wife, and her jaw like hits the floor. Are we early? Oh, we'll just sit in here while you eat. But my other two boys haven't eaten yet. We don't have enough silverware and plates out, but we're just sitting down. Okay, let's get another table and some chairs. Like, Cousin Dan and I are like the fucking two of the Three Stooges. Like, whoop, 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 whoop. What do we do? Where are the chairs? I mean, I didn't even know where the folding chairs were from last year. So we located some chairs and a table and got everybody situated. And it turned out really good. The wife made a hell of a turkey. And I found that one of the greatest things is you got to take the skin and you got to take like a spatula and go underneath the skin. And then you rub in some salt, pepper, olive oil, and thyme and sage and let that soak into the bird as it's cooking.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really fucking good.
So with these other guests, you didn't have any leftovers, so no turkey sandwiches the next day?
No, there's like maybe, I think there's a leg and maybe like four slices of breast.
Yeah, see that.
I mean, there was nothing but a carcass.
I really don't care for the turkey on Thanksgiving. I like the turkey
sandwiches too. A little salt and pepper with some mayo.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. That's good eating. Or I just eat it right off the plate with that little gelatinous goo on there.
Oh, yeah.
The gelatinous turkey grease.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's good. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Oh.
This is probably going to come out as one of the basiest fucking podcasts ever.
We'll see. You made some adjustments.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, anyway, what was I saying? Yeah. So that was my Thanksgiving. And then the wife went out on Black Friday.
She didn't get trampled at Walmart, did she?
No. Did you hear about that?
Yeah, I just heard that.
And people just like kept going. They didn't even help. It was a temp. A temp helping at Walmart. And the guy got trampled, killed, dead.
Dead. There's a how do you do for you. There's a
Merry
good
Christmas.
For goodness sakes.
Merry goddamn Christmas, you fucker. So how was your Thanksgiving? Yours was, I think, special this year.
Oh, it was very special. Very special Thanksgiving. We talked my mother and her husband into hosting, which they don't do. It's very rare. But we said we would cook everything. So we went up on Saturday morning up north. So we were there for the whole week. We got over there Wednesday. We did some prep.
Nice.
Got over there Thursday morning, started cooking. Probably had about 20 people, including kids. It went very well. Oh, we picked up my aunt on the way there. This is the aunt who listens to O'Reilly, Hannity, and Rush, you know?
Nice.
So I wasn't going to say anything because I got chewed out last time I tried to, you know, bring something up.
Yeah.
But I was drunk, and it was probably
rude. You were drunk driving?
So I wasn't going to say anything.
Oh, I see.
But
last time,
she's in the, I'm driving, she's in the passenger seat. She brings it up.
Oh.
So we start talking about Obama. Oh, because she made the comment, now that the Messiah is in office.
Oh.
So we talked about that, and I tried to pin her down on telling me what the W has done. One good thing. Give me one good thing. Just one. She couldn't do it. That's okay. So the rest of my family shows up. It turns out they're all Republicans, except for my cousin Kelly and her new husband Joe. So they show up, and they get in. I'm sitting at the table with them for dinner, and they're talking about something, politics or something. And I said, I just want to let you know that your entire family is straight-ticket Republicans. And Kelly couldn't believe it, but yeah. But she didn't get into it with anybody. But I did talk to my cousin, Kevin.
Yeah.
And I pinned him down, give me one good thing. And he came up with one good thing the W has done. Are you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready. Hit me.
Here it is. Since 9/11, there have been no terrorist attacks on American soil. That's the one good thing the W has done, and that's worth it, my friend. That's worth it. That's worth
but he
all
discounts,
the other pain
he
and
discounts
suffering.
Discounts the largest terrorist attack in American history during
under the W's watch.
Under the W's yeah. watch.
Yeah, so I really
I,
didn't want to get into
I don't
it.
Know.
And you know, on one hand, look, I don't know what it's like to be a Islamic fundamentalist. I'm sure you're kind of retarded, right? But do you, because of the W's actions, where 9/11 occurred and they went after Iraq, which had nothing to do with it, does that make anybody think twice if you're a fundamentalist Islamic terrorist? I mean, does that make you think twice before you do anything? I wouldn't think so. I was trying to position the W, his attitude and his, you know, bring them on kind of a
yeah.
cowboy thing.
Yeah.
Maybe that's actually been the reason that we haven't been attacked since 9/11. Or it could be just other stuff. I don't know what it is. Who
Sorry
knows?
About that. Did you hear that feedback?
Yeah, that was... I didn't want to bring attention to it.
These mics are really hot, man. And as soon as I pull my phones off, it just... Weep! Yeah, they're hot, baby. I got them cranked.
But I didn't even want to get into it. But my cousin did say, you know, I don't, the W is not a good president. I'll agree with that. But I just don't get this argument that he's retarded, which I didn't even have to say anything. There's like five other people who said, what are you kidding me? The guy's, he's definitely retarded.
You think so? He's well, retarded?
I can't imagine him doing well on an IQ test, can you?
Yeah, I don't know.
In the way he ran his presidency, I mean, he's got to be the worst ever. He's got to be the worst. He ran it on his gut and on God. Okay, so the God, that's delusional.
Yeah.
In his gut, who knows what the hell. I mean, the guy did drugs for 20 years, didn't take anything seriously. I don't even know if he takes, he obviously doesn't take intellect seriously. What he takes seriously is the word of God, whatever the fuck that means.
Well, I think he's
But can you run a nation on the word of God?
I think he's a family embarrassment. Well, you know,
I think the last 8 years proves that you can't.
Islam is trying to run a nation on God, Scott.
Yeah, and look how they're doing.
Doing great, aren't they?
You know, and the one the one reason that, like, Saudi Arabia is a power is because they have oil. That's it.
Yeah.
Because of a natural fluke.
Yeah.
If there was no oil there, I wonder how they would be regarded, the Middle East, right now.
Like Somalia. Like Africa. The parts that don't have oil.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're killing themselves. Who cares?
So the meal went pretty well. We cleaned up. I got completely hammered Thanksgiving.
Nice. Did you throw up?
I tried to have a debate with my cousin Kelly about... kids, whether kids are influenced by environment or genetics. Yeah. I was taking the side of genetics. She went on to tell a 20-minute story about a kid who was chained to a toilet for 13 years. And when they finally rehabilitated this kid, when they brought him on the street, people felt compelled to give him plastic. Whatever that means. I have no idea
give
what that
plastic.
Means. Yeah. And I couldn't shut her up to tell
is
her that.
Is she drunk, too?
Yeah.
Yeah, I wish
so
you had
this
a recorder
is when you
for that.
This is when you need the portable recorder to capture moments like these.
You don't understand, man. When he got out and he was rehabilitated, people gave him plastic, man. Like what? Credit card plastic?
No, whatever. Something that was made of plastic. It could be a bucket one day. It could be, you know, whatever.
And it made no sense, man.
They just felt an urge to give this kid plastic because he was chained to a porcelain toilet for 13 years. But she went, I just told the story in what, 30 seconds less? It took her 15 minutes to tell this story.
You don't understand, man. This kid was his porcelain toilet. For 15 years, man.
So it's good. It's good. It's good. Good Thanksgiving. And then, so we came back Friday, did some shopping when I got home. Emma and I picked up a Christmas tree, so we got that set up. And then we finished setting up the house.
You got a real one?
Yeah.
Already?
Yeah.
I think he's going to be dead by the time Christmas Day.
We keep it watered. We know how to take care of a semi-dead tree.
How much of it does your dog drink?
None of it.
No?
Yeah. Keep them away from the tree.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we're all set up for Christmas. We're thinking of hosting the family Christmas Eve bash.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
It is amazing. Oh, the one thing my aunt did say, because she was bashing Obama, which is okay, and we tried to talk through that. But the one thing that I was happy for her to say was that, hey, the guy's our president, so I am going to support him. You know,
wow.
So she disagrees with Obama as president, but because he is president, she will respect that office and support him. Unlike us, like if McCain got in, we wouldn't,
we'd make another 4 years of a show out of it.
Right.
Yeah.
So I was happy to hear that because she's better than us, John. I'll tell you that right now.
Yeah.
But she did restate that... actually, the whole family listens to O'Reilly, Hannity, and Rush.
Oh, Jesus.
So how long that they'll support him as president, I mean, how long does those guys have does it take for them to have an effect on him?
I tried listening to Rush, man, and it was like, oh, my God. This guy with he was going on, talking to a guy who was an ex-union for the auto workers, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And the guy called to say, hey, man, I'm getting fucked here because the union, according to our contract, the union, I get I get 11, whatever it is, $2,200 a month for retirement. But if I get Social Security, they eat into my retirement. So if I get 1,100 Social Security, I only get 1,100 from my retirement fund. And he's thinking that he should get, you know, his
2,100 plus the 1,100,
and which I thought was like, yeah, that's kind of shaky. I don't know if you should get all of that. But Rush comes in and just goes off about, you know, it's not right. He doesn't think that the unions, he's for anybody making as much money as they want. But you should take care of your own retirement. He's like, look at me. I don't have any a special union or anything, or I don't have this and I don't have that, and I take care of my own retirement. And I'm like, I don't know if that's true 100%. Maybe he's not part of that, like the Screen Actors Guild or something.
There's
maybe
a broadcasting union.
Yeah, there probably is. But I'm thinking, okay, this guy doesn't do any work. He's a celebrity personality on the radio. He gets all his money from advertisers. But here's a guy who's building cars, you know, the sweat of his brow to make an automaker millions of dollars so guys can fly in their private fucking jets to the Senate and plead their case to give them $25 billion. And I'm thinking, well, why do you think that if the whole free market thing really does work, then why did we have to go to unions and collective bargaining? Why did that have to happen?
I don't know. Was that came out of the Sinclair Lewis days, didn't it, with child labor and all that other shit?
Yeah. And I mean, a lot of things came out, like, you know, some of the FDA stuff. We'd be eating tainted bacon and meat. Because if you ever read the book The Jungle, people would fall into the meat grinders.
And they just keep grinding.
Yeah, and you'd get that in your can of corned beef hash.
I don't see what's wrong with that. I mean, is it going to have an effect on me?
Yeah, maybe not. But, you know, you get all these disease products and stuff, and he'd be the first one to bitch about it. This big fucking baby with the cyst on his ass couldn't get into the military.
And what has an addiction to OxyContin.
30,000 pills.
What a dope.
How do you need 30,000?
I just don't know how people can listen to it. And I guess it goes back to a belief system because you and I, John, were critical thinkers. There's critical thinkers, and then there must be not critical thinkers who just.
Yeah.
Because the first tip off is. Everything the Republicans do is great. Everything the Democrats do is bad. I mean, that's the first tip-off. How could it be that way? How could it be so cut and dried like that?
And I mean, most Democrats I talk to, they are pretty much like, if a real Republican presented himself, one that was a true conservative, I'd give him a listen because they're... they're more into reason than this ideology. The new Republican, this neocon, this new breed created by O'Reilly and Rush Limbaugh and Hannity.
Crystal. Yeah. Well, yeah, and we
William
talked about
the
that.
Bloody.
I think last time it's going to be interesting to see what the Republican Party becomes in the next 4 years. What will they be? I'm really having problems. I think it's the brandy. What will they be? What will they be presenting 4 years from
brandy.
Now?
Yeah.
Will it be a neocon ideology, or will it be more to the true Republican traditional ideology? I don't know. I don't think that's very interesting. Anyway,
no.
Unless it's Palin.
Right.
Right.
Did you see that video?
Which one?
The turkey video?
Yeah, that was great. That was so funny. I sent that to you, didn't I?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It doesn't work on our show because it's a visual.
No. So somebody catches Palin for an interview. She's pardoning a turkey.
Yeah.
I guess that's part of the governor of Alaska's job to pardon a turkey.
It's so stupid. So
she's pardoning a turkey, before Thanksgiving, and she's doing this interview, and in the background, a guy is slaughtering turkeys.
Yeah, right. He's cutting their throats and bleeding them out.
And he keeps turning around and looking with a big grin on his face.
And their legs are flapping around. I know. They're like bucking and jucking and shiving and, oh, my God. And then they asked her, you know, hey, what's, they sent a letter or something, or, and her publicist or her assistant said, Sarah Palin says she doesn't have a problem with it. What's the problem? No big deal.
Well, that's how clueless she is. She has no idea that to become president or to even be in the running for president, you have to have a solid media
you got to suck up
persona.
To somebody. Yeah, you got to suck up to the to a group that will be equal to at least 51%.
And she can't see the hypocrisy in pardoning a turkey while the others get slaughtered right behind
yeah.
her.
Right.
I mean, right. You know what?
Okay, you're set free, but the rest just cut their throats.
Yeah, and let me do an interview
off
so everybody
heads.
Can see it.
Yeah, off with their heads. Un-be-fucking-leavable.
Yeah, so, you know, I was thinking, I asked everybody in the family to give me a positive, and the one my cousin Kevin came through, and he said, we haven't been attacked since 9/11. And I'm thinking, before the W leaves office, we need to devote a good portion of our show to that, but if we're going to cover all of his fuck-ups, that would be like, what, 10 shows?
Right.
So what you and I have to do, John, is we have to, like by January 20th, during the inauguration, we have to come up with a list, the top 10 list of the dumbest W moves as president. That'll be our homework.
We should ask somebody to give us the top 10 greatest
yes.
W moves.
I will research that. I will even try to get that. I will have a portable recorder. I will try to get that on a recording. The top 10
right.
positive W moves. Well, you know, W came out, and later on I'll talk about this. He came out with an interview about how he would like to see his presidency portrayed. Did you hear about that?
No.
I couldn't get any of the audio. So I'm going to have to do an impersonation of the W. But we can pull some things that there's three things that he thinks he's done in a positive way with his presidency. So we'll get to that later on in politics, John. But before we move on, there is, you know, we talked about all the dumbass things he's done. And this may make our top 10 list. We don't know.
Yeah.
This just came out yesterday. Did you hear about this? The latest dumbass
no.
W. The White House apologizes for Hanukkah cards. A Bush administration spokesman said the invitations to this year's White House Hanukkah reception bore images of a Christmas tree due to a staff mistake. Press Secretary Sally McDonough said staff members erred in failing to print separate cards for invitations to the different holiday events at the White House. The cards, which were sent to the U.S. Jewish leaders, were emblazoned with an image of a White House Christmas tree being pulled by a horse-drawn cart with a Christmas wreath tacked onto the White House in the background. Mr. Bush is apologetic. It's just something that fell through the cracks. And I think the fell through the cracks. Half of his administration could be defined.
Right. Is falling through
falling
the cracks.
Through the cracks.
One giant crack. Absolutely.
Yeah.
What
so
was
there's
that?
That was me. So there's another dumbass W. Now, even if somebody can come up with 10 positive things, and let's say we vet them. Yes, that was a positive thing that the W did. The negative things the W has done that is going to be not only experienced by us, but our children and our children's children.
Yeah.
Have to outnumber the good 100 to 1. 100 to 1, John.
100-1.
Because he's so goddamn dumb.
Yeah.
Retarded. I will say retarded. I'm going to say that. Until he does an IQ test, what is retarded? Is it under 90?
Under, yeah.
I think he would get under 90. I can't imagine him getting over 90. Especially if his dad's not there to pull strings. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. You know, I'm kind of thirsty right now.
Oh, the one argument my cousin Kevin had.
I could use a...
Coke! One argument my cousin had...
I just had to do that.
That the W was not retarded. Yeah. Is he went to Yale.
Oh, so did the Unabomber.
Yeah, but he was a C student at Yale. And you know he got Fs and Ds, and if it wasn't for his dad, they wouldn't have been moved to Cs. And
oh, he's got to be a huge embarrassment for his family. I'd like to see what Christmas is like around the bush Christmas tree.
I wanted to pick up the Inquirer, or maybe it was the Globe. I was going to pick it up. They were saying that Laura's going to divorce him right after he resigns.
Really?
Not resigns, but leaves office. And he started drinking like a year ago.
Oh, yeah, everybody knows that.
Oh,
man.
Did you see the video of him at the UN?
No.
Did you see that video?
No.
Oh, I saw this before I left. And he's at the UN, and they have all the leaders lined up, like on a podium.
Yeah.
Not a podium.
like a panel.
Yeah, so they're all lined up, and the leaders are walking on stage, and then they're lining up. And as they're walking on stage, they're shaking hands with all the leaders and saying...
Oh, and they all dissed him.
And
I heard about that.
Nobody looks at him. Nobody wants to shake his hand. He just kind of mumbles and stumbles his way to his where he's supposed to be. It was really kind of sad.
Yeah, it is sad. It's very sad. I was so sad for him.
Very sad.
Boo-hoo.
For the guy that was born with a spoon up his ass.
Yeah. And had the greatest opportunity and squandered it.
Greatest. And I think that Obama...
Well, I don't want to say it was...
I don't know how Obama's going to do, but Obama has... He has the opportunity to really be a great, great president.
Yeah.
And he may squander it. I don't know.
Yeah, he may blow it.
But here's the thing. The greater that Obama, if he is, the greater he is, the more...
he sets the bar way high.
The more
high.
Horrible the W will look.
Oh, yeah.
In the eyes of history.
Especially now that Cheney is indicted for murder.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't hear that. I was out for a week, John. Tell me about
apparently,
that.
Apparently, all of the... since the federal government doesn't want to, like, impeach him or whatever, the states can form their own investigations and they can indict the W and Cheney, if they want, for murder. And apparently, Cheney owns... like $85 million worth of shares in a stock of for a company called Vanguard.
I've heard of Vanguard.
Which owns a bunch of
prisons. Is he the majority? Is he the majority owner?
No, but let me get to my point here. Okay. It doesn't matter. That doesn't matter at all.
Well, they have to go after all the stockholders then.
Well, they're going after a bunch of them.
Okay.
But here's the thing. He owns stock in Vanguard. Vanguard makes money if prisons do well, because the prisons get whatever. There's these prisons or something that are run by a certain company, and they make tons of money, and they're owned by Vanguard, something like that. But the thing is that some inmate got murdered, and they tried to get it investigated, and they believe... part of this indictment, allegedly Cheney squashed the investigation and then turned a blind eye to the whole thing.
Nice.
So that's what they're trying to connect him to. It's a long shot. I'm sure it is. At first I was like, okay, so he owns stock in a company that owns a company that owns a company that owns a company. And that company murdered somebody, therefore he's liable. No, that doesn't.
Well, no, you're saying he was directly involved in...
Right, but they're finding out that when they went back to check it out, that he was involved in possibly, and another senator or another public official was also involved taking kickbacks.
Nice.
So it's all coming together, this little fucking Dark Cheney.
Well, and that's the thing we've talked about before is W and Cheney are such fuck-ups that we know a lot because they fuck up on a constant basis. But the real danger or the real thing that might totally screw up our America and whatever is the stuff we don't know yet.
Right.
Of what these fuckers did when they were in office.
Right.
That's the scary thing. That's the frightening thing, John.
Yeah, yeah. That is. And it everything was under a shroud of secrecy. Public officials under a shroud of secrecy.
Right. So I think Obama's doing all the right things. He's got the weekly YouTube thing.
Yeah.
He's making all of this information available to the public online. Exactly what he's going to do. And I like that.
Yeah.
It's not. Yeah. It's the exact opposite of the W there.
Yeah. And I was watching the Today Show or something, Matt Lauer, you know, it must be slow, the news. Right away, they're trying to stir up trouble because Barack is getting all this airtime, choosing. He's doing these press conferences every day. He chooses a new advisor or a new cabinet member. And some Wall Street people told him, hey, if you want to jumpstart this economy, you got to get out there right away. And you got to tell them what you plan on doing, what people you want to bring into your cabinet, what are their credentials. Because when you take that oath, you're off and running. You hit the ground running. And that'll get people a little more confident. Maybe they'll spend some money, they'll borrow some money. But if he did what everybody else, all the other presidents did, take a fucking vacation right after they win, mm-hmm. and wait till the last minute to select their cabinet, and then they select a bunch of buffoons that they didn't vet properly, that had all kinds of dirt attached to them.
Well, they didn't vet because it was buddies at a W.
Well, Clinton did the same thing. He didn't vet some people. And, you know, look at Janet Reno. The hell kind of a fucking
please don't make
Secretary
me.
Of State. was she Secretary or Attorney General? Yeah, what the hell was that? Although, what the hell was Alberto Gonzalez?
And the 150
Gonzalez
Liberty University graduates that made up the Justice Department. What a joke.
Right.
Oh,
so...
my wife was on the Liberty University website today.
Yeah.
And
Does she plan on taking some after school?
To get into a master's program?
After degree or what do you call it?
2.0 is all you need.
Nice.
2.0 GPA and you can get into any master's program at Liberty University.
Dude, go for it.
Oh, no, not me, okay?
Oh,
since I've been in college, straight A's, my man.
Oh, look out.
I was just talking about that today. Straight A's. Yeah.
Even my one of those
even piano
liberal colleges.
Even piano.
You can't play a goddamn song.
I can play a song. I can play a Christmas song.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ding 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 ding. So can what's his name? Beethoven the Peanuts. No, it's
Schroeder.
Beethoven. Ding, 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 ding. Oh, that's good, Scott. You get an A+.
Right on.
Do you take the short yellow bus to that school?
No, John. Tell me what grades you've gotten in college.
Oh, none.
Oh, there you go.
Zero
then.
Grades.
Well, when you do go, let's see if you get all A's, okay?
Great. I went to clown school and I get all AIDS. What difference does it make?
You get AIDS?
Yeah, AIDS. What are you doing with that? Zero.
Oh, no. I'm going to get my bachelor's,
and
then I'm
going to
get my master's.
And then what?
Oh, the other thing
then
I did?
Then you'll be dead.
No, I won't. I'll be close to it. But I am going to write a book, John.
Guess what, young man?
I'm going to write a book.
Your grandfather has got a master's degree just yesterday. It's a great accomplishment.
You got Dawkins, you got Hitchens, you got Dennett from more of a scientific perspective, and then you got Harris write these atheist books. And I've gone out to Amazon, and I wanted to get like a history of atheism.
Yeah.
It's not available.
Nothing.
I need to put that together, John.
Oh, yeah. All right.
While I was at Thanksgiving break.
I'm not trying to discourage you. I'm proud of you. I'm
no,
very
you're not.
Proud of
no,
you, Scott.
You're not. You're,
I am. I'm envious.
You are... only inspiring me to prove you wrong.
Prove me wrong?
Yes.
About what?
About the importance of education.
I think education is very important. If you apply it, not to just rant at one of our listeners on the forum. Look at me. I got an A+ in grammar.
Actually, I didn't get an A+.
No.
In grammar, because grammar's not available at the college level.
Oh.
They expect you to have grammar when you show up. So while I'm away, I finished Sam Harris's book. Have you read Sam Harris's book?
Which one? The
Something About Faith.
Yeah. Yeah, I have it.
Yeah. I like
I read
the book.
It years ago.
I think I talked... Last podcast about
2 years
the
ago.
Argument he makes for the war
the end of
on
faith.
Drugs. Yes, the end of faith. But I got to tell you, the last chapter, I don't know. I had to reread that thing twice, three times.
He's a little out there sometimes.
I got the rest of the book. The last chapter, I'm like, what is he saying? If we just adopt mysticism, everything's okay? I don't get it.
Yeah, he's got this weird, no, I don't think he thinks that. I think he's the whole thing about... He doesn't like the mediocrity, the middle road to religion. You're either all or none.
I say you're none. Why even bother?
Yeah, I don't know. I think I heard a thing on NPR. They were interviewing him, and he was discussing that last chapter because they called him out on it. And I can't remember what his... it's out there somewhere, though. It's out there on the internets.
Well, he does give a solution, so but I was kind of disappointed in that, too. So his whole book lays out the problem with religion today, and basically it comes down to this. You've got people who are fanatical about religion who have the ability to acquire today's technology. So, for example, based on Islam... You get somebody with a nuclear weapon, they can decide that they're going to kill 2 million people in God's name, and they may be able to do it in the near future. And that's a real problem, especially when you can't even discuss religion without, you can't criticize religion without being come down upon in a big way. I'm really struggling with thoughts and concepts right now, John. So the solution he provides, I thought was kind of weak. He gave it less than a paragraph.
Yeah.
And he said, if we can just get today's teachers to teach critical thinking and they answer these questions appropriately, we can do away with it. But that is such a high level answer that doesn't even work, because today's teachers, what is it, 72% of them.
Yeah.
Don't believe in evolution or whatever.
Right.
So you're not going to get today's teachers to do that. So you got to come up with a different method for people to get involved with critical thinking and reasoning. And that is the challenge that you and I, John, should overcome. We should set goals and overcome these challenges. We can turn it around. So I'll write this first book. It'll just be the history of atheism. And then I will. We will write a book. We will co-author a book, John, about how to get us out of this mess we're in now with the religious thought that's 2,000 years old with today's technology, which could, really bring on Armageddon.
It says here, it does say something here about his last chapter, where he turns to spirituality and he takes his inspiration from the practices of Eastern religion.
Well, he talks about meditation and consciousness.
Right, meditation and consciousness. Yeah, I remember this discussion.
What I got from it is people need to look at, we talked about this before on the show, people need to observe their own behaviors and actions. They need to be relevant of who they are and what they represent in today's society. And you can do that through meditation or whatever, some sort of spiritualism. But to propose that as a solution, I think is not wise. That's not the right word.
He says mysticism is a rational enterprise. He says religion is not. He states that it is possible for one's experience of the world to be radically transformed, but that we must speak about the possibility in rational terms. A quote from his book, "The only angels we need invoke are those of our better nature, reason, honesty, and love. The only demons we must fear are those that lurk inside every human mind, ignorance, hatred, greed, and faith, which is surely the devil's masterpiece."
Nicely read, John. The devil's masterpiece.
The devil's masterpiece.
Well, yeah, it did. You know, I've read all these books, and it really starts to piss me off that you can't criticize religion. You know, it's above criticism.
Or else.
And people really, like, if you look at Islam as an extreme case, Salman Rushdie writes a book and they want this guy dead. They put a fatwa or whatever the fuck on the guy. And I'm sure Harris and all these other guys have dealt with the same stupid-ass thing. And it's ridiculous. I think everything should be open to criticism. Everything,
oh, yeah.
Especially our show. Andrew's the only one that steps up.
What?
Especially our show.
No way. Ours is
that'll make it better.
Take it back. So shut up.
Think so?
Yes.
Fuck your own face.
I know so.
Diet Coke. Go fuck yourself. Diet Coke.
Oh.
I will fuck you up.
So what movies did you see, John?
I didn't see any.
I saw a couple.
Tropic Thunder.
I saw that one.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that one a lot. It was very outrageous, though. Yeah. Very outrageous. I was wondering, you know, Ben Stiller was a co-author, and I'm like, what kind of weed does that guy smoke?
Yeah, right.
To come up with this idea. But the thing I couldn't...
You gotta see that MTV trailer thing, the MTV promo piece. That's great.
I haven't seen it, but the thing that I couldn't get over... was when I watched the movie, I was watching Jack Black, Robert Downey Jr., Ben Stiller. I wasn't watching characters, you know?
Right.
But the character Tom Cruise portrayed, I was watching a character. The character that, who was the guy from 48 Hours?
Nick Nolte.
Nick Nolte. I was watching a character. But that was one fucked up movie, man.
Yeah.
You know, and so I watched it, and I'm trying to tell my wife about it, and I don't even know how to describe it, you know?
She'll think you're insane if she watches it. She'll go, you laughed at this garbage?
Well, you know, I said, I don't know how to describe it. It's really out there, and you probably won't like it, but I liked it. So she did watch it.
yeah.
I wasn't there when she watched it, but she did see it, and she said it was the stupidest goddamn thing she'd ever seen.
Men are hunters, women are gatherers, man. We're different people.
But, yeah, I thought it was...
Anytime a guy gets hit in the balls, we laugh.
I thought it was great. And the thing I enjoyed most was Tom Cruise's performance as Les... What's his name? Les somebody.
Les Grossman.
Les Grossman is the Hollywood producer. Les Grossman.
Les Grossman.
Yeah, he had the best lines.
We don't negotiate with terrorists. What?
Let me get this down.
You're a great American.
Go fuck yourself.
Oh, wait. I got a better idea. How about I send you a hobo's dick cheese? Go to town, man. Go to town. In the meantime, and as usual...
Go fuck yourself.
Okay, fuckface. First, take a big step back, and literally fuck your own face.
That's my favorite one.
Go fuck yourself.
Now shut the fuck up and let me do my job. Diet Coke! Diet Coke!
So the one thing, I don't even know if my wife got through the whole movie. She might have just left. I didn't ask her that. I need to ask her that. But I like them. It's definitely a guy's movie. Here
before I snap your dick off
and jam it into your ass.
The one that's not on here though is the I'm gonna put my fist up your shithole.
I think I captured that. John.
Did you?
Yeah, but you just go to the soundboard. You don't go to the clips that I brought in. That's fine. You know,
I got a 5 grade point average. I'm gonna prove you wrong, man.
Faces is Damien Cochran.
All right.
Which one of you?
All right. What? Where did you get this from? Where do you?
I put the DVD in my computer and then I played it and then I recorded it.
Yeah, how'd you record it with a microphone?
With Audacity.
Which one of you? Fuck faces is Damien Cochran.
What is that? Is that a robot in the background?
That sounds like the head of the DVD reader.
Oh,
maybe.
Yeah, the head. Right. There's a head.
You limey fuck.
Oh, we got to save that one for Andrew.
Right.
You limey fuck.
Actually, it's not bad. It's pretty good.
Look, fuckstick, I'm incredibly busy, so why don't you get the hell out of here before I snap your dick off and jam it into your ass.
Okay, last chance. This better be the fist in the shithole.
I will fuck you up!
That's it?
That's it. That's all I got.
Aw, dude.
I did it under duress, okay?
You limey fuck!
We could use
under
that for
duress.
Pauly B or any of those limeys.
You're under duress. What do you mean?
Under time constraints.
Diet Coke!
Go fuck yourself.
Now shut the fuck up and let me do my job.
Okay, fuckface. First, take a big step back and literally fuck your own face!
It's my favorite.
It's great how he just like loses it, man.
Well, the thing about
it is... You know, he's talking to like somebody who's ranting against Scientology. That's where he's coming from.
We don't know that. We don't know that. But here's the thing.
Yeah, I'm going to assume that.
Tom Cruise traditionally doesn't do comedies, does he? I mean,
no.
You said Risky Business was a comedy, but I disagree with that. So here he's in a comedic role.
He wasn't the kid. If Booger is in a movie.
I have due respect for Tom Cruise.
It's a comedy. Shut up. And Joe Pantoliano is in a movie. It's a comedy.
Joey Pants.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Diet Coke!
But here he has his first genuine comedic role. And I thought he did an outstanding job.
Yeah.
And I have new respect for Tom Cruise, even though he's crazy as all get out.
He's crazy. Yeah.
He's Tom Cruise crazy.
Right. Tom Cruise crazy. He sure is, man. He sure is.
I'm a dude playing a dude disguised as another dude.
I saw another movie, John. Forgetting.
You went full retard, man. Never go full retard.
Forgetting Sarah Marshall.
Oh, yeah.
Did you see that one?
I have not seen that. I want to see that.
That's a good one. I saw that one in Tropic Thunder back to back, so I like Tropic Thunder much better than I like Forgetting Sarah Marshall. Yeah.
You watched it back to back. What do you mean?
Like I watched Forgetting Sarah Marshall, then I watched Tropic Thunder. In a row. You see?
Yeah.
In a row.
Yeah.
The other movie I saw that was one of the worst movies I've ever seen. And I'm trying to remember, you know, Netflix, you can put your movies in the queue.
Yeah.
Somebody recommended to me Albert Brooks' movie, Modern Romance, right?
Yeah.
So I put that in my queue, I don't know, 3 months ago.
What's your queue?
Netflix.
Oh, Netflix.
The queue.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I finally get it delivered, but I can't remember who recommended it.
Yeah.
So I sit down and watch this thing. It's,
you gotta be curious.
It's fucking horrible.
Yeah.
It's one of the worst movies I've ever seen. I don't know what Albert Brooks thinks is funny, but it's not in Modern Romance.
I'm not really an Albert Brooks fan. I don't know.
I like some of Albert Brooks' stuff, but this was it's like a 1981 film, and it was just awful.
Yeah.
Just, you know,
Horrible.
And the first 20 minutes is him on the phone. That's the movie. Him on the phone.
On the phone.
And you don't like this guy.
No.
Yeah. There's nothing to like about him.
Right.
Yeah, I just didn't get it.
Unbelievable.
It was. It was horrible. So on Spiny Normans, I give that one Spiny Norman. Tropic Thunder.
Just to get up that hill. Now we up in a big league.
That's the theme song for the Jeffersons.
Ain't nothing wrong with that.
You out of your mind.
What?
You really need help.
And just because the theme song don't make it not true.
Tropic Thunder, 3 out of 4 Spiny Normans.
Yeah.
Forgetting Sarah Marshall, 2.5 out of 4 Spiny Normans.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There you have it.
There you have it. Excellent. Another review. We got to do some review music.
Okay.
You know?
Sure.
Know what I'm saying? Know what I'm saying?
Should I do the reviews all over again?
Yeah.
Because I'm done. I don't have any more movies.
Oh, I found a tune and I fucking forgot. Ah, shit. I forgot to record it.
Oh, I got an email. I forgot. God damn it. I forgot an email.
You got an email.
Oh, we got an email from a podcast that wanted us to play their promos.
Yeah.
Did you get that?
Yeah.
Didn't you want to play their promo?
Didn't we play it?
I can't remember. Short-term memory, John.
Short-term memory.
Oh, my cousin Johnny had some weed.
Here we go. We'll
up
do.
At Thanksgiving. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, but I didn't do any.
Liar.
I didn't.
Here's a promo number one. Promo.
Fabulous Penguin.
He's Max.
And this is what you might hear if you listen to
comedy. Oh, I got to rewind. Here we go. Well, they don't do a lead-in. There's no silent lead-in.
Mm-hmm. He's the Fabulous Penguin.
He's Max.
And this is what you might hear if you listen to countless screaming Argonauts.
Could we have a porn, non-porn section of the plane?
John McCain, however, thinks the economy is strong. Of course, he also thinks ABBA is a good band and Sarah Palin knows foreign policy.
Because she lives near Russia. Generally speaking, I tend not to listen to crazy people.
And the answer is people are stupid.
We're just two guys talking to everyone about anything.
To hear more, go to csapodcast.blogspot.com. I almost said double.
Nice.
There you have it.
CSA Podcast.
CSA?
Yeah.
All right.
What did they say what it stands for?
I don't know.
How they found us was a friend turned them on to Escape Pod by giving them a CD with a couple of stories on it. The best short story ever, blah, blah, blah. So I listened to more and soon heard the fabulous word whore reading something, and he was hooked. Soon I heard the word whore talking about TTN, so I checked it out. Now I'm a loyal listener and a big fan.
That's how it happens.
Here's their second one. They have a second one.
He's the Fabulous Penguin.
He's Max.
And this is what you might hear if you listen to countless screaming Argonauts.
I'm shaking my head. I'm sure you can't see it, but I don't know what to do besides shake my head.
We're afraid they're going to reinstate the draft and say they can take everyone up to 53-year-olds.
That's right. And Rainagan pissed me off because he said, we're going to have to make a note about that for next time.
We're just two guys talking to anyone about everything.
You want to hear more, go to csapodcast.blogspot.com.
Get a fucking microphone at work, motherfucker!
I got countless screaming Argonaut.
Countless, that's it. Countless screaming Argonaut.
There you go.
That's it. There you have it.
There you have it.
Fans of the show. Yeah, they need a better microphone.
I got this email from someone.
Yeah, what'd you get?
Hi, Scott. I'm a new listener who is loving your shit. I, too, am atheistish. I was born Catholic, and around certain people, I pretend to be Catholic so I don't have to hear their shit. I've attended now 12 years of Catholic school.
Oh, God.
That's horrible.
Oh.
Over the last couple of days, my current religion teacher, after somehow getting into the topic of death for a second, stated the following. What would be better than to die and to join the Lord?
listen to TTN.
I think this may be a cause for some caution. Sounds like if she thinks death is so awesome, we may all get killed. Or, fingers crossed on this because she is a dumb bitch, maybe she will kill herself. But I'm pretty sure God doesn't appreciate either of those things. Tetanus.
Right.
Sincerely, Anonymous Glenn.
Nice.
boy, I have a tremendous amount of sympathy for him. He has to attend 12 years of fairy tale school.
Yeah. I had two or three.
Well, then the teacher making that statement to die and join the Lord, that's the problem with these fundamental religions, whether it be Islamic or Christian. They really think that Jesus is going to return.
Right.
And there, like he's going to come back for them, these ignoramuses.
Here I am. Here I am. Rocking like a hurricane. Wow. No doubt, Scott.
12 years of Catholic school.
I know. That's just, ugh. I couldn't imagine. I know. I couldn't imagine. Although I tell you, the guys that I knew that went to like St. Viator's, they got the best weed.
Yeah.
They always had the best drugs. And that's where, what's his name? Ted Nugent went to school.
St. Viator?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, that freakoid shit in his pants to get out of the draft.
I just read that.
I mean, I'd shit in my pants too to get out of the draft, but I would still be anti-war.
I just read that Megan Fox thinks that she's not that attractive. She basically looks like the female version of Ted Nugent.
Oh, my God. With the mustache and all?
I don't know. I don't know what she's smoking.
Wow. Wow.
Wow.
Should we take a break?
If you'd like. I have a quick Vatican story. I got celebrity. I got science and politics, John.
Nice.
Phil, I think he has some news. Some news.
Tell me what you want to hear, brother.
Oh, I have. I don't know. What do we got?
I have Molly's lips.
Molly's lips.
From practice.
Yes,
I
of
have,
course.
Do you hear what I hear? Going through your purse. In a really sped up funky town.
How about a Molly's? I'll pick Molly's lips. You pick the other one.
Oh, there it is. Molly's lips. All right. Drop that in the queue. Why don't you just let me bone you? Do something Christmassy. A real fucked up version of Do You Hear What I Hear?
All right.
How about that?
Sounds good to me.
You like that?
I love it.
All right, we'll be right back. We're going to take a quick break, fill our drinks, and get on with the rest of the shit. I'm John.
I'm Scott.
We'll be right back.
A Sternberg moment. Ooh.
Mm-hmm. We need some rehearsal on that puppy.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying?
Well, Rick didn't want me to hold the G on one part.
I don't understand that.
I don't know why he doesn't.
The G.
Yeah,
I like it.
To hold the G.
I like holding the G.
I don't know what he's thinking. You know, maybe he practices that with Joe Dickhead. And
yeah.
It, you know, he can't get anybody to hold the G, so
Dish
that's the way
Dick
he wants
Rock.
To do it.
Yeah. Dick Joe Dick. Fuck stick.
Oh, that reminds me, John. I read on the forum, I can't remember if it was before I left or when after I got back, that a lot of praise coming your way for your drumming ability.
I know, man.
Yeah, yeah.
From the Haggis,
yes.
Yeah,
and others chimed in and said, yeah. Yes, very, very good.
So I put a copy.
The stereo version.
Stereo version of Mrs. Robinson.
On the forum.
Yeah.
I also saw on the forum that Lizard King was co-hosting on Vomitous Prime,
yeah.
So I checked that out.
I haven't checked it out yet.
Very nice pipes. Lizard King has really nice pipes.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
He actually went there? It wasn't a Skyping?
No, I think they're all in the same area. They know each other.
Excellent.
Jesus Christ, what's that? Bill. Bill is the guy from Vomitous Prime,
yeah.
Right? So Bill used to be with these other two people. I can't remember their names. It was
and they
a guy
got microphones
and a girl.
At work?
But they left the show, and now it's Bill and Will. And from
Bill
what I got from the little bit of the show that I listened to, Lizard King and Will are good friends, and that's how they know Will.
I can't watch any more of this football game. I'm going to fucking stab myself in the eye with a fork.
I'm getting mixed up with names. But Lizard King, very nice pipes. Really nice pipes.
Yeah, excellent.
Tell you that right now, John.
Yeah, he just put up a new show. I started listening to a little bit of it, but my kids keep walking in.
Dad, can I play a video game? Dad, Shannon just kicked me in the wang.
The wang?
Yeah. The wang and the bits.
The wang?
Yeah.
All right.
He calls it the wang.
The wang?
Yeah. She kicked me in the wang.
Nice.
Okay, get your sister down here. I'm going to beat both of you to a pulp. First, I'm going to punch you right in the spleen for tattling.
All right, John's story out of the Vatican. I don't know if you heard this or not.
All right.
The Vatican warns mobile phones are bad for the soul.
Jesus Christ.
The Vatican has warned that our obsession with modern technology such as the intranet and mobile phones is not leaving people enough time for spiritual pursuits. Father Federico Lombardi, the Pope's spokesman, said that without a spiritual life, people risk losing their souls. In the age of the cell phone, the internet, it is probably more difficult than before to protect silence and to nourish the interior dimension of life.
Nice.
Father Lombardi told the Vatican television show, Octavia Dies. That sounds upbeat, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It is difficult, but necessary.
But there is
an interior and spiritual dimension of life that must be guarded and nourished. If it is not, it can become barren to the point of drying up and indeed dying. Today, this is a very grave threat, and it is the most irreparable misfortune.
Wow.
I tell you why the Vatican doesn't like internet and the cell phone. I'll tell you why, John.
Yeah, because you can learn something.
Yeah, you can learn something from it. You don't have to live 2,000 years ago in a fairy tale land. And what really astonishes me is, okay, so you got these traditions based on fairy tales, but the amount of thought and energy that goes into just this thing that I read here. I mean, this guy, Federico Lombardi, the guy probably spent 6 months coming up with this theory that the internet and cell phones are bad for spiritual life. And then expounding it so that we could know his theory based on a fairy tale.
Right. Fairy tale. Santa Claus, the Easter Bunny.
What a waste of time. Then on the other hand, let's say the Middle Ages never happened, right? And we'd be traveling in space now, but at some point would we have nuked ourselves 500 years ago?
Right.
I don't know.
It's
God's
will,
John.
It's God's will.
Oh, when anybody asks me a question in my family that I can't answer, I don't know, or, you know, why'd you leave the toast in too long and it got burnt?
It's God's will.
Yeah, it's God's will.
It's God's will.
I had nothing to do with it. It's God's will.
The devil made me do it. So back off.
All right, John, I got a celebrity quote. You have to tell me who said this.
Celebrity.
What celebrity
quote
said this. Quote, I shave and groom my private parts. It's a better presentation for me. If men require women to go through the pain, we should return the favor.
Charlton Heston.
No.
No.
P. All Diddy, right. John. P. Diddy.
P.
Tells the new issue of Allure that he shaves and grooms his private areas.
He shaves the P. Diddy.
See, now, when he makes private areas plural, I can understand shaving your one private area.
Yeah,
right?
But how many private areas do you have?
Well, is he talking about his ass? So he shaves
maybe,
his ass?
Maybe he has a vag underneath
is
the,
what he's saying?
His bits. He's a vag hole.
You mean between his taint?
Yeah, he has a vajayjay.
Yeah, private areas, plural. I have a problem with that, P. Diddy. You need to let me go know what's going on there.
I'm going to have to stop buying your albums. Can they catch a fucking ball? Catch a ball!
John, it's over. It's 24-14, okay? It's over.
Yeah, but it's the third quarter only.
Yeah.
So shut up.
Also, good celebrity news, John. I don't know if you've heard this. Ashley Simpson and Pete Wentz welcome their first child. A week ago.
Pete Wentz, wasn't he in Cheers?
No, he's in Fallout Boy.
Oh, that's Wendt.
They had a boy. Do you know what they named their boy?
Joe.
Bronx Mowgli Wentz. Yeah, there you have it. Bronx Mowgli Wentz. How long do you think that relationship will last?
I don't know.
An Ashley Simpson and a Pete Wentz.
You never know, man.
Oh, I know.
Opposites attract.
No. No. The celebrity.
She's kind of a Jesus freak,
isn't she? You cannot hold a celebrity marriage together.
No.
Paul Newman was the only one to do it. Do you think Pete Wentz is a Paul Newman? I don't.
I don't know. Mr. Know-It-All, Mr. Negativity, Mr. A-plus.
Mr. Arrogant, Mr. Yeah, Smarmy.
Yeah, so smarmy, arrogant.
Right, right.
Can't even use jumper cables. But hey, I got a 4.0. Great point.
I can use them if I have
stranded
to.
Stranded in the middle of nowhere. How do you use these fucking things?
I can figure it out if there's instructions.
Can you change a flat tire?
Yes. I've changed many flat tire because the car I used to have, Blue Thunder.
Yeah.
Every time.
The Blue Thunder? What the hell is that?
Well, it was a sky blue Chevy Chevette.
Nice. That's what you nicknamed it?
The muffler fell off, so it was Blue Thunder. I used to go to Kmart. Kmart used to throw. They would change somebody's tires.
Yeah.
And they would throw the tires outside that were accessible.
You'd be like, awesome, new right. tires.
So I'd grab these used tires, and whenever I got a flat, I would use these tires, you see.
That's out of sight.
Yes.
Blue Thunder.
Blue Thunder.
That is fucking hilarious.
It was like a Flintstone car.
I wish I knew. Hit no floor.
It had no floor on the passenger and the driver's side, which was nice because if I needed to get rid of something,
yeah,
it would just go right out. Oops, oop! It fell right out the floorboard. on the other hand, it was bad when I picked up dates. You know,
yeah. Don't put your feet down.
Yeah, you might want to.
You'll get sucked right underneath the vehicle.
Sit at the very edge of the seat and then kind of straddle the dashboard with your feet.
That's out of sight. Hey, don't diss my car. This is Blue Thunder. She'll get mad.
And the car cost me, I bought it for $140.
Wow.
I drove it for a year, and I sold it for a pair of speakers.
Nice.
Yeah. Right on.
I had, my first car was a Ford LTD.
Oh, that wasn't my first car.
Station wagon, and cost me $50. And I drove it over to a friend's house so he could look at it. And he said, yeah, the radiator's gone. You got to get a new radiator. Well, something happened and the key broke off into the ignition or mm-hmm. something. I couldn't start it. So we had to take the ignition apart, you know, like they do in the movies.
Yeah.
I took it apart and I couldn't get the steering wheel back on. So I had to drive home with a vice grip on the fucking bolt that steers the car, you know, for the steering wheel. I drove home with a pair of vice grips as a steering wheel. Nice. How about that, huh?
That's out of sight.
And then when I got home, we finally fixed it, got a new ignition for it, put the steering wheel back on, was able to get a radiator for $25 at Globe Junkyard. And the cool thing about the car, you could lock it, but open it from the outside because there was a rust hole so big in the side of the door
mm-hmm.
that you just had to reach your hand in to unlock the car.
Nice.
Yeah, yeah.
Nice. That's out of sight.
It was
man.
A great car, yeah.
Yeah, Blue Thunder was my second car. My first car was one that my mother sold me. It was a Toyota Corolla.
Oh, nice.
She sold it to me for $1,200.
Oh, my God. $1,200?
Yes.
From your mother?
Yes. Get this. This is the best part of the story.
She took it back. She
I had made $800 in payments. I had $400 left, right?
Yeah.
The car got totaled. Some guy hit me from behind. Some guy smoking weed in his mom's Ford Fairmont or whatever totaled me from behind. The insurance company came and wrote a check and gave it to my mother for $1,800.
Wow.
Do you know how much she gave me out of that check?
How much?
Zero.
Oh, my God.
That's why I had to scrape together $140 to buy Blue Thunder.
Are you fucking kidding me?
I'm not kidding you.
Your own mother?
So my mother, I think she bought the car for like $2,600, and she sold it. I paid $800. Insurance gave her $1,600 because it was still in her name.
Yeah.
So she $2,600. I think she made $100.
Oh my God.
On the deal.
Dude. What's up with that? How long was she driving it for?
She had it maybe 2 years before she sold it to me.
Oh, man. That's just brutal.
That is brutal.
So she wouldn't sign over the title until you paid everything.
Until I paid everything, right. So I had paid
$800. Wow.
Totaled it. Insurance gave her $1,800. I got nothing.
Oh, man.
Nothing.
Did you disown your mom right then?
Of course not. It's my mother.
That'd have been it for me and my mom right there. Over money. Forget it. I just say, I'm going to get it back when you die.
All right, John, turning to science news.
Science news.
I think, yeah, we have a science stinger. That's right. This is the latest science story, a couple of them, John.
Yeah.
They have been lampooned for suffering from man flu at the nearest hint of a sniffle.
What? Man flu?
But the nation's men, in fact, appear to get very little TLC when they fall ill. A wife's sympathy for a partner with a cold lasts, get this, John, just 5 minutes, according to new research.
What?
All right, so if you and I get the cold or the flu, the wife, her sympathy for us lasts 5 minutes. 5 minutes.
I just shot a snot right into my beard.
Most wives and girlfriends are happy to admit that they are more cold-hearted than cold-curing, but when it is women who are suffering, men will not only mop their brow, but will even take a day off to look after them, a new study found. So 52% of women lose sympathy for their under-the-weather partner after 5 minutes.
Well, you've been...
And 18% don't even last that long, admitting they start off being unsympathetic. But in the Cold War of the Sexes, when the shoe's on the other foot, men see themselves as Florence Nightingales at the first sign of a sneeze. 70% claim to be sympathetic, but may go further, with 60% doing the housework and 64% cooking dinner. Yeah. So the only reason I bring this science story up, John, is because I've experienced this firsthand.
You've been victim to it?
And it was on Thanksgiving. It was probably 5 years ago.
Yeah, when you almost died.
I wasn't feeling well. I said, I'm not feeling well. I don't think I can, I don't think I could do this Thanksgiving thing. And the wife said, don't give me that shit. Get it together, you pussy. Of course, I'm paraphrasing. And so I pumped, 8 Advil over the course of the day. I made it through Thanksgiving. And the next day, I was in the emergency room, not once, but twice. The first time when they diagnosed my pneumonia. And the second time after I had an allergic reaction to the steroids they had given me. I was out for 2 weeks, and 40 pounds later, I was... after 2 weeks, I was back. But I wasn't back in business.
I know, you couldn't really
respiratorily
talk.
For 6 months. Yeah,
you sound like a barkless dog.
Well, we had to do some voiceovers or something for me. And I could barely get through one sentence at a time.
Barely.
Before I'd start hacking and coughing.
Yeah.
So, but I have to say this in my wife's defense. Since then... like just today, I was doing Christmas stuff.
Yeah.
And she said, if you're getting a headache, let me know right now, because I don't want you to get a headache. So she has become
vigilant,
very sympathetic, and almost proactive.
Yeah.
Except when it involves naps. If I need a nap, I get a lot of shit.
No,
but
napping.
I still get the nap.
I haven't had a nap in months.
Oh, I don't know how I'd get along. Without a nap.
Oh,
I need my
nap. I'm telling you what, tomorrow and the next day I'm off. Of course, the wife hates when I'm off. She wants to know, well, what are you doing? Are you going to call Jim? Are you going to put the door in? Are you going to have the furnace fixed? No. I am going to do nothing. I'm going to watch a stack of movies and sleep.
Nice.
And that will drive her crazy. She'll call me 9 times. Hey, how you doing? How you feeling? Everything okay? Just wanted to call, say hi.
What about lunch? Do you go out to lunch?
No.
No?
No.
one of the things that my wife and
I... see my wife all the time. Why do I want to go to lunch with her?
Well, the thing that my wife and I have an issue with
is... Are you insane?
We see each other all the time, but we can never talk. I mean, the kids are a constant interruption. Constant interruption. And 50% of the time, we want to talk about them, you know? So when we do have an opportunity...
Well, wait a minute. What time do the kids go to bed?
8 o'clock.
Yeah. So you don't have time after that?
Well, here's what happens at 8 o'clock. And this happened last night. We need to watch a movie. Okay, that's great. Let's put a movie in. So I put a movie in. My wife falls asleep after 30 minutes, and I'm stuck watching the movie.
Well, I thought you got to talk, man. What are you watching a movie for?
No, you want to relax at 8:30. We don't want to talk at 8:30.
We don't want to talk to each other. Right. We want to do it over lunch.
We just want to relax. Yeah. See, at lunch, you got, you know, it's in the middle of work for her, and I get to find out the latest work stuff. And
right, right.
You know, our minds are fresh. They're not...
Yeah, maybe I should go to lunch with the wife.
Like at 8:30, they're just starting to shut down, you know? Especially after being with the kids all day. Not only all day, but all week, John. I've about had it. I was ready to rip my son's head off today.
I had a great discussion with my kids a couple hours ago about them punching each other. And I had them in tears. It was great.
Really?
Yeah. And they both apologized and said they won't do it anymore. Yeah. It's real simple.
So how could you possibly, I mean, what is your spiel? How does this whole thing start where they end up in
tears?
Well,
I had them stand in front of me, and I put them close to smacking range, you know, so they already have that in the back of their mind.
We're like gonna you're going to smack them?
Yeah. And I go, no, don't back up. Get closer. Right there. Stop. Tell me your side. They tell me their sides. They interrupt each other. I tell them both to shut up when have some respect. When the other one's talking. And then I go off and I say, why'd you hit her? Because she said this and this and that. Was your life in danger? Was your life in danger? Were you protecting yourself from danger? No. Then I look at my daughter. Why were you hitting him? Well, because he told me to shut up. And, was your life in danger? Did you have to protect yourself? No. I said, okay, that's enough. Knock it off. Unless you're defending yourself because you're being attacked, there's no need for you to hit each other.
Nice.
Now get out of my sight.
You know what I do when my kids piss me off? You know what I say?
What?
I say...
I'm going to punch you in the spleen?
No, I say, you need to take a step back. You know what? I have it on tape. You want to go play? You want to play that? Here's what I say to my kids.
You have it here now?
Yeah, I gave it to you.
All right, here we go. Oh, let me cue it up here. This is what you say to your kids. This is what Scott says to his kids.
Okay, fuckface. First, take a big step back and literally fuck your own face.
Okay, and that works. Yeah,
that's how I deal with all my kids. Yeah.
All right. And it works.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'll have to try that one. We'll have to try that one. See if that lands me in DCFS. Right.
I think that's the first time in TTN history I got out of my seat and walked in the other room and told you, whispered to you.
Like that works.
Hey. Yeah. Hey, dude. Guess what?
Other right. Science news, John.
Yeah. Oh, we're back. We're still with science news. I forgot.
Just this headline I saw, and I thought it was ridiculous. It's probably from the New Scientist. I don't know where it's from, but it says Einstein was right. E equals mc squared is proven.
What?
See, the thing about science and about theories is you can't really prove anything. You can build evidence.
You can
to support
disprove.
The probability.
You can falsify
of the theory, but you can't prove it. You can't, John. You are correct. You can disprove it and falsify it. So when I saw that headline, I was I remember where it's from. It's from Yahoo. Yahoo, the science category of Yahoo.
Right. Very reliable source, no doubt.
Right. Right. So I just wanted to point out how dumb Yahoo Science is.
Here we go. I got a 4.0 grade point average. Actually working on a 5. I know there isn't one, but I'm going to anyway.
So basically what they're saying is, well, we don't know where all this mass comes from. Because if you look at an atom, you got the nucleus, and then you got these electrons floating around. And it's a really big gap of space. So where does the mass come from? But the mass comes from the energy of this atom. Basically, bottom line, that's what they're saying.
Yeah.
Nice. So it's still not proven. You can't prove it, but it lends more. More what, John? It lends more credence to the theory. Yes.
It's out of sight, man.
That is out of sight. That's all I have for science news, John.
Yeah?
Yeah.
That's it?
That's it.
I could shut this off then. All right.
You want to go to Andrew's Minute before we get into politics?
Oh, yeah. Andrew's Minute.
Andrew's Minute. Now, last time Andrew's Minute took like an hour, right?
Yeah.
Because his minute was a minute, but we talked about it for an hour.
Well, he says in his email, "Dear John and Scott, I have decided not to record a minute this week until I can upgrade the microphone I use. Perhaps you wouldn't mind reading out my minute." And but he sends me two clips that says Andrew's Minute, and there's two of them. Hold on a second, I gotta scratch my ear. If I scratch my ear too close to the mic, you know what
feedback
happens.
Right. I know what happens.
It says. Obama's campaign money. John, you are right. I followed up your comment, and 90% of his campaign money came from individuals. I was wrong and stand corrected. But I am forced to defend myself from the slanderous accusation made against me in the attached clip. So you attached a clip, and oh, I'm sorry. I forgot to play the Andrew's Minute song.
You're a foreigner. You can't comment. Don't comment.
How dare you? All right, Andrew's Minute. So here it is. Here's a comment about racism.
I don't know. He's got a bug up his ass about Obama.
I
think Andrew is, he doesn't like black people.
You said that Andrew, you thought that Andrew may have a little racism in his belief system.
No, I just said I don't think he likes black people. So I didn't say that. But he says...
Wait a minute, you didn't say that. You just said that.
No, I said, I didn't say that he was a racist. I said
he just doesn't like black
people. Like black people. There might be reasons why. It doesn't have to do with race.
Right.
Duh.
Whatever that means.
Anyway, he says, I am not a racist and I'm upset by the accusation made by TTN. Will I...
Wait a minute, I didn't make that accusation. You made that accusation. Why am I included in that? Why doesn't he say John from TTN?
Oh, all of a sudden we're no longer a team.
Oh, we're a team, all right. But when you, I'm throwing you under the bus.
Let me finish, okay? I am not a racist and upset by the accusation made by TTN. Will I be called a racist every time I challenge Obama or tease Republicans about their reaction to him? That does nothing for debate or democracy. I would like an apology, but I don't expect to get one. Now for my real point. And then he goes on about economics. Anyway, yeah, I apologize, Andrew, if I made it sound like you are a racist. I don't think you are, even though I was joking. Maybe he's an Afrikaner. That was the only thing I said. I never said he was a racist. I just said I didn't think he liked black people. I have no proof.
Right.
I don't know. But the way he goes on, I couldn't draw any other conclusion. My bad. I'm sorry. I apologize if that's the way you took it.
Well, the one thing that in Andrew's credit, I don't even know if that's the right thing to say. I can't drink brandy at all. I mean, my mind just shuts down. The whole argument that it really doesn't matter who's in there, McCain or Obama, they're already bought and paid for. That's Andrew's argument, right?
Yeah.
So I think that if you look at it from that level, then everything that he says beyond that point kind of falls in line with that type of an attitude. So it's not really a racist attitude. It wouldn't matter if it was Obama or McCain or anybody else.
Right.
It's bought and paid for, and that's his main argument, I think. I don't know. Maybe we'll hear in Andrew's minute how I'm wrong.
He, if you look in the forums, he wanted to go on why we constantly gush about Obama.
I don't think we really
makes
do.
Him so great. And I listed a few points. I thought the things that made him great were the fact that we have somebody who is intelligent, who has somewhat of an education, who is going to be our president. And I believe there should be some qualifications. To be a lawyer, you have to have an education, a degree. Maybe you're not going to be a good lawyer. Maybe you'll suck at being a lawyer. But at the least, you got to have some sort of an education. To be a doctor, to be even an auto mechanic, to be anything that requires some form of knowledge. Well, apparently, the W didn't have to have anything but a C average in what? History?
Yeah, at Yale. All male Yale.
So that was my point. The reason why, if it was a gush, which I am offended by, that accusation.
Are you demanding an
apology?
And I
don't think I'll get an apology for that. Anyway, he goes on. For now his real point is economics. Economics is about money and what we do with it. You make money, you spend it, you borrow it, you loan it, and you pay taxes. Since money exists, you can measure, test, and monitor everything. It is not complex in the way that politics or philosophy is. The following clip compresses about 30 minutes of you rambling into a couple of minutes. Whilst it was intelligent and informed, you both appear to disappear up your own tetanuses. Remember, economics is about the movement of money, goods, and services. That's all. It's not about philosophy or psychology. Okay.
All right. We don't need to hear our clips, do we?
I don't know. Probably.
I remember not what I said. I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. Either way, if it doesn't include philosophy or whatever, if it's just about money and numbers, it doesn't do anything for me.
I believe, economics has to be philosophical in some form.
He just said it wasn't. Isn't he the economist?
I don't know.
It's very black and white. It's numbers. That's it.
It's numbers, but there is a psychology involved.
Well, it's how you interpret those numbers, I guess, right? Because you can interpret statistics 10 different ways from Sunday.
If it is just numbers, then why isn't anybody buying anything?
I don't know. And why can't we get somebody to define what this bailout really is?
Why do they talk about consumer confidence? Where does confidence come from?
Numbers, John.
It doesn't.
Yes.
Confidence. What kind of numbers?
I don't know.
I'm still getting a paycheck. I'm still getting a paycheck every day, but I'm spending less because everybody else is spending less. So it's making me nervous psychologically. I don't have the confidence that my company will be there tomorrow. Why not? Because people aren't spending. And if they don't spend, if they don't buy things...
Yeah, but all those initial thoughts that you have are driven by numbers.
Demand, supply. Yes. Well, then everything is. You could say psychology is mathematical.
Yes, but you can't say science is.
Why not?
At least you can't say that you can make prediction based on math.
Why not?
Because then string theory would be...
There's some new guy out there that says that he's like the next Nostradamus. He could predict stuff just with mathematical equations.
Well, good.
In the first quatrain. Yeah.
Well, good. Have him predict how much longer the show is going to last.
As far as I'm concerned, nobody has been 100% right economically using economics to make predictions about economy. What our economy is going to do next.
Who knows? I don't know.
Anyways, he continues, despite being branded a racist, I still enjoy your shows and will sort out recording more minutes in a decent quality if you would like me to. I am delighted to be a debating counterpoint for both of you, but not if you slander my reputation in public where there is no basis in fact. Wow. Let's hear my clip again.
Okay.
I don't know. He's got a bug up his ass about Obama.
Impaling.
I think Andrew is, he doesn't like black people.
You said that Andrew, you thought that Andrew may have a little racism.
Yeah.
In his belief system.
No, I just said I don't think he likes black people. Yeah, I never said he was racist.
Yeah, he just doesn't like black people. That's what you said.
And I thought I was, you know, total talk nonsense. I'm not sure I have to qualify everything I say being on this show because it's total talk nonsense.
It's tongue in cheek.
It's tongue in cheek. You get what you get. WYSIWYG.
It is what it is, John.
It is what it is. That's right. It's one of my favorite sayings, isn't it?
I hate that one.
I know. It is what it is. Hey, man, it is what it is. Let's get the delta on this one. What's the delta? If I hear that from another fucking consultant, I'm going to rip his spleen out. You don't really need a spleen, do you?
I don't think so.
So, Andrew, if you took it that way, which I don't think you should. I don't think you're a racist.
Yeah, you just don't like black people.
You just don't like black people. Maybe you don't care for them. You're indifferent to black people. I don't know. You tell me.
Or maybe that's not it at all, John.
Yeah, not it at all.
Turning to politics, John. Ted Stevens, John. Ted Stevens,
Ted
loses
Stevens.
His battle for Alaska Senate seat. He loses. Oh. So this was the guy who thinks the internet is made of tubes. He's also the guy that was convicted of like 7 felonies. And these Alaskans almost reelected him, but they did not reelect him. Now, if he had been reelected, John, what was going to happen is the Senate was going to vote, and they were probably going to boot his ass out. And when that happens, the governor of Alaska gets to name who the senator is going to be, which I don't understand how that works out at all. But if that were the case, then Palin would tell somebody, hey, I'll make you governor, and then you name me to that Senate seat.
Right.
And that's how Palin was going to stay involved
right.
in the Republican race. And now that no longer can happen.
Now she pardons turkeys as they get their throat cut.
That's right. So she will not get that Senate seat that once Ted Stevens loses the battle. In other political news, John, this is the W thing I was referring to earlier. Earlier, John. President W. Bush. Nearing the end of his final term in office, says he most wants to be remembered as someone who came to Washington and didn't lose his values.
Didn't.
Someone who didn't sell his soul to the political process.
No, you didn't.
Well, who's he talking about? I mean, I wonder who he's thinking of that did sell their soul to the political process. Why he's trying to separate himself from that person. I wonder who that would be, John. He told his sister Dorothy Bush Koch in an interview for StoryCorps, the National Oral History Initiative, whatever that is. An excerpt of the interview aired on National Public Radio on Thanksgiving Day. Oh, we should be able to get the audio for that then.
Yeah.
And the White House released excerpts on Friday. Oh, so it is available. The entire interview will be archived at the American Folklife Center at the Library of Congress.
Excellent.
Gee whiz. Isn't that great that the whole thing will be archived with this genius? Here's what he said, John. I would like to be remembered, a person remembered, as a person who, first and foremost, did not sell his soul in order to accommodate the political process. I came to Washington with a set of values, and I'm leaving with the same set of values. And I darn sure wasn't going to sacrifice those values. He also said, John, I'd like to be a president as somebody
who liberated 50 million people and helped achieve peace that focused on individuals rather than process. That rallied people to serve their neighbor. John?
Wow. You know what he said about Social Security?
No, what did he say?
They want the federal government controlling Social Security like it's some kind of federal program.
All right, now...
51 days left, by the way, people.
We talked about the top 10 things. Give us the top 10 things that W has done.
Yeah.
He mentions two of them. Here's what he's most proud of.
Oh, all right.
HIV, AIDS, and malaria initiatives in Africa.
Oh, very nice.
I'd be curious to know what those are, because from what I understand, he's the one who cut funding for condoms to Africa and said, just don't fuck each other, okay? Which I don't think worked out very well. there's three of them here. Also, he's proud of his Medicare prescription drug benefit.
Wow.
Do you know what that is?
No.
I have no idea what that is. We'll have to research
like,
that.
That benefit is like super complicated.
So you need a degree just
to figure out how to do it.
Asked about his No Child Left Behind education law, Bush called it one of the significant achievements of my administration. No Child Left Behind, John.
Nice.
We know what teachers have to say about that.
Yeah, right.
I mean, how delusional is this guy? I say he's borderline retarded.
He's moronical.
He talks to God. Okay, so there's a delusion there. But this guy is nowhere near reality. Any type of reality-based perception is beyond the W.
I'd like to tell him...
go fuck yourself.
We said loud and clear to educators, John, and parents and children, that we expect the best for every child, and that we believe every child can learn, and that in return for federal money, we expect there to be an accountability system in place to determine whether every child is learning to read, write, add, and subtract. Because I didn't have to do any of that shit, and I became president.
I'm a dude playing a dude disguised as another dude.
I actually felt...
So we have homework, John. We have top 10... we have our top 10 complete Bush embarrassments. How do you want to define the requirements for that?
Let's see. Complete Bush... embarrassments.
He doesn't feel any embarrassment for anything he's done. That's how delusional he is. But I am embarrassed for him as a president.
It's got to be on a world level.
On a worldwide. It doesn't have to be, but I think it would be more significant on the worldwide
stage.
Top 10. How about just top 10 Bush presidency failures?
I mean, not him trying to open the wrong door in China. And giving that stupid grin or that stupid look on his face and putting his hand. Oh, my God.
Right. So is it? We'll just have the top 10 W failures as president. As president. Yeah. You have to limit to it as presidency because there's so many other failures in his life.
Right.
But we'll just limit it to the last 8 years.
Fuck face.
No doubt. I got some audio of the Cheney indictment, some news audio. You want to hear that, or do we talk about it?
You mentioned it before. It's the Texas thing.
Yeah,
right, where he's involved with the company, and the company is involved.
Yeah,
he was actually involved in the suppressing the information, right, John?
Yeah, this kind of goes into a little detail about it. If you want to hear it,
sure.
Getty's investigation took him all the way to the top, to Vice President Richard Cheney.
And greed will get you discovered and get you arrested. That's what happened to Cheney.
He tells us he went through Cheney's financial records and prison company's financial records and found the connection. Take a look at three of the top prison companies Getty researched.
Let's take a look.
Corrections Corporation of America, the Geo Group, and Cornell. The common denominator among all three, the Vanguard Group, an investment company that puts money into all three prison companies.
So we knew Vanguard was the key.
Now look at the vice president's financial disclosure from last year. It shows he owned shares in the Vanguard Group. Getta estimates Cheney has $85 million invested in Vanguard and in turn in the prison companies.
The problem now that you have is that he has a direct interest.
A direct interest in making sure the prison companies stay in business. In his indictment, Getta writes that no government officials made efforts to properly investigate the death of Gregorio de la Rosa Jr. He says that was due to the money being made by government officials. Getta claims Cheney put a stop to the De La Rosa investigation in 2006. He says Cheney is looking the other way while De La Rosa and other inmates across the country are dying in private prisons. And he says that's why Cheney is charged with engaging in organized criminal activity. And Getta says Cheney isn't...
Yeah, so that's that.
We'll see how that plays out.
And you remember Joe the Plumber?
I remember Joe the Plumber. He wasn't even a plumber.
Yeah, he's got a new job now.
What's that?
He is a spokesperson for a company that's helping people transfer or transition to digital. Their televisions.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You got to get the new cable box. Yeah. Or whatever.
Here's what Joe says.
Hi, America. I'm Joe Orzelbacher. You know me as Joe the Plumber. And I've partnered with my friends at VelocityStore.com to help America go digital for the DTV transition. This isn't about politics. It's about doing the right thing. You see, the transition from analog to digital is happening on February 17, 2009. This impacts millions of Americans, especially the handicapped, senior citizens, and non-English-speaking communities. I partnered with VelocityStore.com because they are the only online retailer providing converters and information in English, Spanish, and then Chinese, with other languages to be added in the near future.
So Joe the Plumber is now the spokesperson for whatever the fuck he said, .com.
He was never a plumber, John. He was an entrepreneur.
Right.
And he asked a legitimate question of Barack Obama, which led the entire nation to completely understand that he's a socialist, Obama.
Yeah, Obama's a socialist because he believes that people who don't have a job or people who make a lot of money, shouldn't have to pay a little extra as far as taxes. And those of the middle class who aren't getting shit for the taxes that they're paying, any kind of service from the government. He believes that. What did Obama say? Spread the wealth, right?
Right.
So he didn't like it. Joe the Plumber didn't like it that the money was taken out of his pocket and was given to people who weren't working, basically.
Even though Joe the Plumber was on welfare for, 2 years?
Yeah, and his parents were as well.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. Well, that's different. I paid into welfare, he said. Yeah, whatever. Fucking loser.
You limey fuck!
I forgot to play that when I was reading the Andrew rant.
Yeah.
You limey fuck! You limey fuck!
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, is Phil coming or what?
Yeah, he said he would be here.
Are you sure? Oh, it's weird how I say it, and sometimes he comes and... Most of the time, he's like outside. Are you going to get that?
Yeah, let me
what?
Get it, man.
Jesus fucking Christ.
I need to get my cans off. 34 to 14.
Yeah.
Oh, that's brutal. Hey, man. What's that? Come on, man.
All right, I'm back. Wow.
He's really firing his heels right into the wooden
his
floor.
His mic must be hot. Man.
Wow.
Must be hot. A hot mic for a Phil McCracken. All
right, then.
Is
he ready to go?
Yeah, he gave me the thumbs up, man.
All right, here we go.
Thank you, John.
Thank you, son.
Now, with your award-winning TTN News... Phil McCracken Whitcomb.
Thank you, John. And our first story tonight.
Preacher arrested during 10K race accused of Bible thumping runners. Authorities say a street preacher almost hit several runners with a Bible during a holiday race on Clearwater. Police say 48-year-old Mark Allen Sudo was delivering a street sermon when he interfered with the Turkey Trot 10K on Thursday by shouting at runners, getting in their way, and waving a large Bible in their path. An arrest report says Sudo refused to stop disturbing the run, even after several warnings that he was arrested and charged with disorderly conduct. He remained in jail, John, Saturday, on $150 bail. Next story, Todd. Barbara Bush, John. Barbara Bush.
Bush.
Says perforated ulcer pain was worse than childbirth, John. Worse than childbirth. Luckily, unlike her children, her ulcer is unlikely to get elected and inflict pain on the rest of us. Next story, John. Former New York cop wins $4.5 million in damages after shooting himself in the leg when the chair he was sitting in broke. He's lucky, in a sense, that he didn't shoot himself somewhere else. In related news, John, did you ever wonder what your penis is worth?
No.
Well, now we know.
Not lately.
Washington State has agreed to pay $300,000 to an ex-prison inmate whose penis was consumed by a flesh-eating bacteria while he was behind bars. Charlie Manning told the Seattle Times Sunday that he will have $150,000 left after paying his attorney fees arising from his lawsuit and other bills. He expects to get the money this week. It's been a nightmare, Manning said. I figured I should settle for what I could get because I just didn't want it. I wanted it behind me. It's unreal. It's like something from Mars. Manning, 61, was serving a 13-month sentence for drunken fight when he became ill. The prison doctor wrongly diagnosed his symptoms as an allergic reaction to medication. It turned out he had necrotizing fasciitis, and the bacteria destroyed his penis and one testicle. Oh. The Department of Corrections said the suit was settled because going to court would have been more expensive. While the end result was unfortunate and Mr. Manning's original diagnosis turned out to be inaccurate, this was the result of a misdiagnosis, not the result of poor medical care, officials said in the statement. Not all medical judgments, whether performed in prison or in a doctor's office, are infallible. Next story, John. 5 years ago, John, 5 years ago, Richard Pearl said that Iraqis would name a square in Baghdad after the W. Today, Iraqis are burning W in effigy. It did take place in a square, so I guess Pearl was half right. Next story, John. God, John, the Lord God, opens up a can of whoop-ass on an unsuspecting tavern owner. That's right, John. A tavern owner is recovering after a priest allegedly smashed a chair over his head, and two nuns with a combined age of 160 kicked him in the stomach in a Wild West-style saloon brawl. The Catholic priest and nuns allegedly hit and kicked the 49-year-old in the row over the eatery's lease. The restaurateur said he rushed to the church-owned restaurant near Salerno in southern Italy after hearing the brazen clergy members were causing strife. He told police he got into an argument with the priest. What did I say? He told police he got in an argument with the priest who smashed a chair over his head. The nuns then started kicking him in the stomach. Britain's Daily Telegraph newspaper reported passersby were shocked to see tables and chairs being hurled around the bar and promptly called police. I came down to try to calm things down, but the priest hit me with the chair and I ended up on the floor. Then the two sisters started to kick me, insulting me with unrepeatable words. The unnamed owner said he was taken to a hospital with neck and abdomen injuries. Clergy lawyer Gattiano De Vetri disputed the claim, saying, I would only say that the two nuns had a combined age of about 160. For the rest, it will be up to the magistrate to clear up. But the clergy members deny the allegations. The priests and the nuns belong to the Disciples of Santa Teresa and the Baby Jesus, which owns the lease on the premises and reportedly wants the property back. Next story, John. A new study says that if you wash your hands, you're less likely to eat your family dog, abuse a kitten, or steal money. Next story, John.
Oh.
The poo-poo terrorist has been arrested. For those of you unfamiliar with the term, poo-poo means duty. Poopy equals stinky, John. One of the most feared criminals in Norway has been arrested. He has been called the poo-poo terrorist because he has vandalized his victims' cars with, that's right, John, human shit.
Ew.
The first attacks were noticed in April 2007 when Lisa Vetabaman, 29, got her car filled with almost 10 liters of the brown-smelling substance. The poo-poo terrorist has thrown frozen cubes of his own excrement into cars for almost a year. Something that has cost the car owners thousands of dollars to clean up. The attacks have been a riddle to police in Ostfinkenmark, at least until now. After a tip, they have now arrested a 50-year-old man. When searching the suspect's house, the police found human excrement in his freezer. They also found objects that can tie him to the crime scenes. The objects, along with the excrement, have been sent to be analyzed. The motive for the attacks is unknown, and the man is likely to be charged for his crimes in January. Next story, John. I have some good news and some bad news, John, out of the science community. Good news and bad news. The good news is, new study shows women do not, I repeat, do not want foreplay. They would prefer it if men just got busy. Here's the bad news, John. They want sex to last 16.2 minutes.
What?
They want sex to last 16.2 minutes on average. Next and last story, John. Tom Cruise, John. Tom Cruise says he'll have more kids with Katie Holmes. Just as soon as he remembers where he put the turkey baster.
Oh.
And that's the news. I'm Phil the Crack and Wake Up with AKC Total Talk Nonsense, John and Scott.
All right, thanks for coming, Phil.
Thanks for having me.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Well, he just runs right out of here.
Well, I got to go. I got a turkey sandwich with my name on it. Right on, John.
He just gets up and gets out of here, man.
Hey, if I had a turkey sandwich waiting for me.
No doubt. If I had turkey left.
Right on.
Fuck. And you know, I like, how do you cut your bird? Did you cut the bird this year?
Well, what we did is we got the we got three turkey breasts, right?
Yeah.
Then I pounded them down. Then we put the stuffing, and then we rolled them up and tied them. So it was like a loaf, a turkey loaf.
Nice.
But my aunt made a full turkey just for turkey sandwiches, but we left before they broke out the turkey sandwiches.
Oh, man. Yeah.
So I had a pseudo turkey sandwich. It was made of turkey shreddings.
Nice.
From like the legs and the wings and stuff.
Yeah. And it's good cold, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I got a compliment on my turkey carving this year. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What I like to do is cut the whole breast off in one big giant, it's a giant breast.
Chunk.
Instead of, I don't like sawing it off and, you know, onto the plate. I cut just the breast off.
It's a big chunk.
Yeah. And then I slice it on an angle with a really sharp knife on the cutting board. And then I reassemble it on the serving platter as the breast. And I do both of them side by side. And then I rip the legs off, the two big legs, and I set them on there like it's the turkey all over again.
Nice.
And cut some dark meat off and put that in the middle. And served it. Oh, did you cut the bird? Yeah. They thought we bought it that way.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's got to be the highest compliment ever.
No doubt. You think so? Are you being... I want an apology.
No.
How dare you assume I bought it or... Yeah.
Yeah. Didn't say that. Said it was a compliment.
Right.
The highest one ever.
You were being very facetious.
For turkey slicing.
The way you said that.
Not at all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fucking bitch!
All right, man. So 153 is next week.
153 next week. 152 in the can. And my apologies to Andrew UK. If he
Again,
thought,
that's like the eighth time you've apologized.
I feel terrible. Just
you must
terrible.
Feel terrible.
I feel terrible. Yeah, totally. I'm distraught. And I don't know why he won't keep doing the Andrew Minute because I... made fun of his microphone. It's not the microphone, really. I think it's the bed. He's playing the bed a little too loud in the background. and it's difficult to hear him. If you just really got to get into the mic and enunciate, you know?
Right.
And I'll take care of the compression and everything. But, yeah, keep them coming, Andrew. All right? Keep them coming.
Okay.
Yeah. Don't you think?
Yeah. I'll keep them coming. I'm not Andrew. It's not a character that I made up.
No, you have so many, though, puppets in your closet.
Yeah.
All right, I'm John.
And I'm Scott.
And that's it for 152.
And let's leave them, the audience, with what I tell my kids when they get in trouble.
Right.
Let's leave them with that, John.
This is what Scott tells his kids.
If I have any trouble at all.
Yeah.
Okay, fuckface. First, take a big step back and literally fuck your own face!
Come on!
Wow. See ya.
Later.
You're listening to John and Scott. On Total Talk Nonsense.